is Roger Mudd reporting with news and analysis on the CBS Radio Network. It's only a little more than a year since John Mitchell resigned as the director of President Nixon's re-election campaign. But to him, it may seem like a lifetime. Events have moved so fast, have altered so drastically the influential positions he held. Today, in the latest event, Mitchell talked publicly and fully for the first time about his involvement, or lack of it, in Watergate. It was a long way from his high-riding halcyon days in Washington. A look in a moment.
A vacation is a time to unwind, a time to forget the tension of the city. But it's no vacation for you when the driving gets rough. You're worried about strange roads, confusing road maps, and there's nothing you can do about other drivers. But you can do something about your shock absorbers and the way your car handles. You can ride with Gabriel Triple Ride Striders, because Striders put you in control to give you the ride you want. It's the one shock absorber made in America that you adjust at installation for the way you drive. Adjust Striders to regular for the smoothest ride. Firm for better ride control. Extra firm for extra hard driving. Heavy-duty Striders. So dependable. So well-made. Gabriel guarantees them for as long as you own your car. Labor charges not included. Ride with Striders. And this vacation, relax. Gabriel.
In his appearance before the Senate's Watergate Committee today, John Mitchell looked spruce, alert, self-controlled. Not unlike the familiar figure he cut as President Nixon's right-hand man, his law and order attorney general for 4 years. But according to some sources, the appearance is deceptive. They say Mitchell is not the same confident, assertive man he was when he wielded great power in the administration and in the nation. They describe him as shaken, morose, drinking heavily. These sources point to a recent item in New York Magazine, which reported that Mitchell submitted to an interview with a reporter for the New York Times, and according to the magazine, Mitchell had consumed 8 drinks during the interview and was somewhat high when the reporter arrived. The result, said the magazine, was that the New York Times declined to run the interview because it lacked substance. On the other hand, the Washington Post indicated in a long and generally sympathetic story, headlined "The Rise and Fall of John Mitchell," that he is not overdoing it when it comes to drink. He is not, said the story, drinking himself to death. Regardless of the truth of the matter, there is no doubt that John Mitchell is a man under siege, a figure whose fall from power contains the elements of tragedy. Not only is he a key witness in one of the biggest political scandals in the nation's history, but he is also under indictment in New York for alleged perjury and obstructing justice in a corollary case. He no longer has access to the White House and its Oval Office, as he once did, and his name has been removed from the roster of the top-notch New York law firm in which he was a partner. According to one source, Mitchell's old associates at the firm refuse all calls and comments about him and seem determined to pretend he never existed. It wasn't that way a few short years ago. His associates at the firm of Nixon, Mudge, Rose, Guthrie, Alexander, and Mitchell couldn't talk about him enough, especially after he successfully managed Mr. Nixon's election in 1968. And when Mr. Nixon appointed him attorney general, he called him more than one of the nation's great lawyers. John Mitchell, said Richard Nixon, is a man of superb judgment, a man who knows how to pick people and to lead them. That judgment apparently held up at least until last July 1st, when Mitchell quit as director of the Nixon campaign. This was 2 weeks after the break-in at Democratic National Headquarters in the Watergate complex, and Mitchell said he had to leave the job or his volatile wife Martha would leave him. Later came the indictment in New York, testimony by Watergate witnesses that he helped plan the break-in and participated in its cover-up, and the hints from the White House that he was the real villain of the piece. It's at a time like this that Mitchell perhaps reflects on how it all began, his initial reluctance to leave his lucrative law practice and get into politics, his reluctance to join the Nixon cabinet, and ultimately, his reluctance to leave the Justice Department last year to run the campaign. But although besieged, there was little about John Mitchell today to suggest defeat. He continued to declare his innocence, to deny any direct involvement in wrongdoing, to refuse to implicate the president. In his wife's words, Mitchell is a very proud man, and it is this pride, his friends insist, that will sustain him, that even leads him to believe he and the president will regain the same intimacy they once shared. If pride made John Mitchell fall, say his friends, it may now help him up again. Chevrolet Impala. A lot for your money when you buy it. With V8 engine, power steering and brakes, and automatic transmission standard. Impala has traditionally high resale value, too. That's why we call it the Great American Value.
It's the Great American Value. It's the Great American Car. It's the Chevrolet Impala. The USA. Number one car.
President Nixon's lawyer, Herbert Kalmbach, is widely known as the White House fundraiser, but not so much is known about how he doled out funds for Watergate-type projects. This week, Newsweek magazine reveals what it has learned about Kalmbach's financial part in payoffs, cover-ups, secret reports. And Newsweek's cover story this week is all about an explosive new lifestyle that has taken a good part of America by storm. If you don't believe us, look at the cover on Newsweek and nowhere else.
This is Roger Mudd reporting for CBS News.